Radio for Peace International is a shortwave radio station broadcasting worldwide from the campus of the United Nations University for Peace in Costa Rica. Since 1987, it's been broadcasting programming related to peace and justice, human rights, the environment, and cultural and political diversity and awareness. Listeners in over 100 countries tune in daily to hear news and in-depth analysis not readily available in most other places. Throughout the United States, Canada, and around the world, many cities are experiencing the loss of non-commercial, community-based radio stations as the media is rapidly being gobbled up by a small handful of corporations who care only about playing commercials and making a profit. Meanwhile, Radio for Peace International is a global community radio station, an alternative media outlet that can be accessed by anyone, anywhere with a shortwave radio set. While visiting Costa Rica a few months ago, I had a chance to speak with James and Deborah Latham, two of the co-founders of the station.
Radio for Peace International broadcasts specifically on the issues of peace, the environment, social justice, human rights, issues related to women, children, indigenous peoples, those who don't have a voice often in mainstream media. And we've been broadcasting since 1987 from the campus of the University for Peace in Costa Rica on shortwave radio, and more recently, within the last few years, we also have on our website, on the internet, programs which can be downloaded in audio, and we've done some audio streaming.
Now, I've heard that RFPI has a pretty interesting history. Could you maybe just give some of the highlights in your 13-plus years of broadcasting?
Interesting is perhaps an interesting term to use. It's been always a struggle, of course, whenever you're trying to put together some project like this. We initially started the station with a small amount of money, something like $16,000, $17,000. So if you were to tell somebody, hey, you want to start up a radio station with this kind of cash, they would perhaps laugh at you because it's a ridiculously small amount of money to start a shortwave broadcast station with. But that's what we had, and we had a lot of enthusiasm and interest, and the idea was once we sort of started the station that other people would kind of come on board and get interested in it and support the station, and it would grow. So we initially were going to set it up in the United States, but we found that the U.S. government is not so keen on licensing a station that would have a peace-oriented format.
But also the licensing procedure in the U.S. You need lawyers in Washington. At that time, you also had minimum levels of the kinds of equipment and power you had to have. So economically, it was prohibitive to set up in the U.S.
Well, in this process of trying to set it up and looking at setting it up in the U.S., we, through a relationship with Rodrigo Carrazo, a past president of Costa Rica and one of the founders of the University for Peace, had an invitation to come to Costa Rica, to this newly established university that was really desperately looking for projects in peace and social justice. And they were trying to attract projects to come. And he said, why don't you come and build a station here? We're on international grounds. You'll have autonomy. Set up the station at any size you wish and set it up on our grounds. So we traveled to Costa Rica. It was almost too good to believe such an offer. The university offered to give us the property to establish the radio station and, of course, the authority to broadcast as well. 85, then we came and signed the agreement and looked over the facilities where we could set up the station. And so we came to Costa Rica. It was an ideal location to broadcast from. One, it's a country that's very stable. It doesn't have an army. And the university's ground being international as such doesn't have the responsibility of a country that would be saying, no, you can't broadcast this or you can't broadcast that. We have some autonomy from that. So it works out very unique. I don't think that I know of any kind of situation like that exists anywhere else in the world.
Could you maybe highlight some of the events and programs that you've broadcast over the years?
Well, there's been many. Just some things that come to mind for me is we broadcast Willie Nelson's Farm Aid. This is something that was kind of different than our normal broadcast, and it was very music-oriented, which we tend not to be too involved with, you know, music-only type programs. Willie Nelson's Farm Aid had a host of people for the cause, of course, of helping farmers, small farmers. And we broadcast that live from Houston.
We've done a lot of live broadcasts from around the world, from different events. Dublin, Ireland, and Rio de Janeiro in 1992 at the UNCED conference, the World Environment Conference, from Santiago, Chile in 1998 at Institute of Ecological Economics conference, from a large indigenous gathering in the U.S. and
Beijing,
China, the Women's Conference, many different broadcasts via the telephone from all over the world.
We've interviewed people like the Dalai Lama, Arlo Guthrie, Jesse Jackson, you know, just to mention a few.
Two interesting things I'd like to mention that we've done. One, when there was fighting in El Salvador going on, we broadcast reports from Peace Brigades International volunteers in El Salvador about what was happening in terms of indiscriminate bombing of the civilian populations in the barrios there when the media around the world was reporting that mainstream media was reporting that there was no indiscriminate bombing going on. And also during the coup in Haiti when Aristide was in exile, we were broadcasting programs being produced by journalists in exile into Haiti in French Creole because there was a news blockade. All the radio stations in the country were shut down and they had no way of getting news in their own language. So we served as a link.
That's one thing about shortwave radio. It is an unstoppable medium. The internet and other sources like that can be cut. The telephone lines could be cut, and you can stop those kind of things. In the case of Haiti, the local radio stations were all closed down or taken over by government at that time. But international shortwave broadcasting always continues. It's a good fallback because it can be broadcast from a safe distance away and concentrating into an area like that.
So what types of programming do you broadcast now on a regular basis?
There is a mixture of programming. It runs the whole gambit. But typically, I mean, our subject matter, as Deborah mentioned earlier on, it falls into the social justice issues, the issues of environment, of peace, and peace-related issues. We have a lot of programs that people will hear on in U.S. stations, on non-commercial stations, on community radio stations, programs such as Counterspin, which looks at media bias around the world, specifically in the U.S. as well. We have programs Alternative Radio, and then a large portion. When we first came to the station, we wanted to produce all these programs ourselves. We wanted to produce all these things before some of them even existed. We wanted to do a media program about media control. But we found out that, one, there was only so much work we could do, and two, there were other people that were very keen and were producing those programs that needed an outlet for them. So for some of those nationally syndicated programs, many times they've started out with us in the early days when they only had two or three stations, and then they were on shortwave as well.
We also, at the other end of the spectrum, have independent producers who produce programs specifically for Radio for Peace International, the producers of Every Living Thing, an environmental program, or our Indigenous Voices program. Those programs are produced specifically for Radio for Peace International. And also, we produce programs here at RFPI, two of the more noted programs being Global Community Forum and the Progressive News Network. James, maybe you'd like to talk about Global Community Forum.
Well, the Global Community Forum program was actually an outgrowth of an earlier show that still continues on called the Far Right Radio Review, which took a critical look at the far right's use of media, in particular shortwave, because during the mid-90s, the far right extremist groups in the U.S. was using shortwave to a large extent. And we decided, besides just reporting on what the far right was doing and the subject matters that they wanted to talk about that we were trying to clarify to our shortwave listeners, we wanted to also say, well, wait a minute, we're not just going to follow them around and on the subject matters they want to talk about. We want to also discuss the issues of the progressive left that should be up there in the forefront and take a look at some of these things, globalization effects of people, something that now is developing more and more and more of an interest, especially amongst young people, it seems. These kind of issues we wanted to talk about, militarization, sales of arms to Latin America by the U.S. government, things like this. So the Global Community Forum has a wide range of topics it'll talk about. It'll talk about deterioration of schools and the conditions of schools and a lack of support by government for them, all the way to racism and a whole host of projects.
I imagine that some of the people listening into this interview might not know much at all about shortwave radio. So without getting too technical, could you maybe talk a bit about what makes shortwave different than AM or FM and what this means for its audience?
AM and FM radio basically serve a certain radius. The signals either go out line of sight or follow the curvature of the earth, but only to a certain limit of boundary, usually reaching, say, a large community or city, and they don't go much farther than that, except for AM radio at night. Sometimes there's what we call skip, and you can hear it from, say, in the U.S., from the East Coast to the West Coast, but you're not hearing stations from Australia or Japan. Well, these line-of-sight transmissions, in the case of FM, mountains block them, and in the case of AM, especially in the daytime, even though they follow the curvature of the earth, they only go so far. But on shortwave, the radio signals, the waves, are bounced off the ionosphere, much like the inverse of skipping a stone across a pond. It bounces up to the ionosphere and is bounced back down to the earth, and the oceans bounce it back up. And these signals, if you can think of it in multiples going out all around the globe, the signal reaches around the whole globe from one broadcast location. So when we broadcast from Costa Rica, people in Japan and Australia, the U.S., Europe, can all hear what we're broadcasting. And shortwave has different bands and what we call propagation. Different bands broadcast have different characteristics, so the people in Japan may not be able to hear at the same time as someone in North America. But basically, you can cover the whole globe with one broadcast.
There are some 13 shortwave bands. You could think of them as roughly the capacity, each one, of the AM broadcast band. So you could right away see there could be quite a considerable amount of stations. There's some estimated 4,000 shortwave stations around the world. Those stations range from superpower stations, U.S. government, VOA, for example, large megawattage, 250,000 watts type stations, to medium-sized stations where we're at that'll cover regions fairly well, to small little village stations, little 100-watt stations operating in Peru on shortwave tropical bands.
Of these over 4,000 stations, most of them are either government stations, the voice of, like the Voice of America, the BBC, Deutsche Welle, etc., and many are religious stations. And there's a very few stations in the world now that are also commercial stations. And RFPI is very unique because it's nonprofit, it's not linked to any government, and it's not a religious broadcaster. So we're sort of in a category of our own.
What would you suggest for someone who wants to listen to Radio for Peace International but who knows absolutely nothing about shortwave radio? Where could they go to get a shortwave radio? Is there a certain type or model they should get? And how can they get good reception?
Well, it is really crucial in terms of quality of the radio. Unlike some other things, such as an FM radio, you can buy a real cheap FM radio and you could tune in and hear almost all your FM stations. If you buy a cheap, inexpensive shortwave radio, it could be difficult to hear some of those medium power stations out there. The biggest thing, perhaps, in the price barrier, and we're talking about somewhere around $100, you can go from the cheap, inexpensive radios to medium price radios. But one of the big features that really is helpful is digital frequency readout. There's a lot of frequencies and a lot of bands, as we just were describing. And the radios that have digital frequency readout, you won't spend hours tuning and tuning and tuning to try to find your favorite station or the station you're looking for. You'll simply be able to punch the numbers in, the frequency, into the keyboard and either hear the station or not hear it and try another frequency where you might hear it. So that is kind of a price. We always recommend people spending an initial purchase of a shortwave radio, $150, $160. You get a much better radio. Also, an outside antenna is really useful. That scares people away, perhaps, but it's nothing as complicated as you might think. You don't have to have a large tower or anything like this. You simply have to have a piece of wire. Any kind of wire typically will work. You take off the insulation to where they would attach to the aerial on the shortwave radio.
Just on the end, a couple inches, so you can wrap it around. It doesn't matter if the plastic insulation stays on the rest of the wire.
If you try to use the aerial that is on the set itself, that aerial is typically made for FM reception. And it will work marginally for shortwave, but it's not a shortwave antenna. And so by doing this and attaching a 30-foot, 40-foot piece of wire, real small wire is acceptable. And if you can get it outside the house, perhaps toss it up into a tree or up onto the roof of the house.
The one thing you don't want to do is to attach it to something metal.
Yes. You don't want to ground it. You don't want to get it near any kind of power lines, because that will pick up interference and static, and it will cause the reception to really lessen what you will have. So though it's something simple, you could do a little experimenting with it. The antenna you don't have to spend much money on. There are kits that you can buy in stores. Radio Shack usually has a shortwave antenna kit that you can buy. If you want to look at sets, there are many: Grundig, Sony, Radio Shack, Sanjin, all produce sets, usually ranging from about $50 all the way up to thousands of dollars. Again, we recommend something in the medium price. A Sony, such as a Sony 7600 receiver, shortwave receiver, is a very good one for about $160. It's a very small portable, about the size of a pocketbook. You can take it with you wherever you travel. They make larger, a little bit more table models that are about the size of a hardback book, that have a little bit more features, a little bit bigger speaker, so they have a little bit better fidelity to them. Those usually range around $200 and up.
Well, finally, could you just give out your website, your email address, and your regular mailing address if people would like more info on the station or would like to find out the current broadcast frequencies or receive a program schedule in the mail?
A great way to find out more about RFPI is through our website. You can download and listen to audio programs there. There's old issues of our vistas and our research about the far right. You can link to other sites. There's a whole host of information there, our latest broadcast schedules, when to tune in, etc. And you can find us on the web at www.rfpi.org. That's www.rfpi.org. If you'd like to write to us for more information, you can write to us at Radio for Peace International, P.O. Box 88, Dash 6150 Santa Ana, that's S-A-N-T-A, capital A-N-A, Costa Rica.
Our email address is info, I-N-F-O, at rfpi.org.
And I've been speaking with James and Deborah Latham here in the studios of Radio for Peace International in El Rodeo, Costa Rica. I'm Scott Gurian. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.